Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
And without further ado, I will announce Sufyan Badr as the Quran reciter, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما صدق الله العظيم.
JazakAllah khairan and Sufyan. The first talk tonight will be by Brother Umar Najareen, and it will be called Our Text and Our Past.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmuduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lah. وَمَا يُدْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ ثُمَّ مَا بَعْدُ. All praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. It is due to him and none other. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are in need. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. We seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide them. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, then no one can guide them. And we bear witness and testify, there's no Lord, there's no deity worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger sent to mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he should be feared, and die not only in a state of Islam, in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as to what follows. As we all know, tonight's talk is about al-ghuraba, the strangers. Who are these strangers? What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about these strangers and about Islam? And what does it mean to be strange? And in what eyes, in what context does strange mean? And who gives the best example of strangeness? And this strangeness that we're talking about is not being weird or being wrong. It is actually a strangeness in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves. The famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found in Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Islam began as something strange, as gharib, and it will go back and it will return strange. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Tuba is actually a tree in paradise. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying glad tidings to these strangers. Who are they? What do they reflect? What is their way of life? Who are these strangers? And the one that signified that most is who? Obviously Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to understand this hadith, we have to first understand why Islam can be strange. For what reason? We know that after Adam alayhi salam, during the time of Nuh alayhi salam, kufr spread among this earth. And it became a norm. It became something which is usual. People to worship an idol, people to worship a tree, we might look at it as weird and strange, and yes it is. But at a time where the whole world has fallen into kufr, this becomes normal to them. This becomes something which is so normal that it's part of their life, it's part of everything. Even Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, before Islam, the worshipping of idols was something which was normal. But when he accepted Islam, he would laugh about the days that he would worship an idol. And he even talks about a story about when he was traveling, they had an idol made of dates. And when they felt hungry, he ran out of food, they started to eat those dates. They started to eat their idol that they used to worship. But in saying that, from the time of Isa alayhi salam until the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kufr spread, and through Christianity and paganism spread even further and fell even deeper in deviation. Except a few which remained on Tawheed. This few that remained on Tawheed worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and kept to the belief of Isa alayhi salam. Then came Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent calling people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And Islam at that point appeared strange. How weird, how strange. A man is calling for the worship of Allah alone with no partners to worship a Lord that cannot be seen. How weird and how strange is this? They believe in the hereafter. They believe that after you pass away from this world, there is another life. How weird and how strange. So Islam came to the people as something strange because they were not used to it, nor did they understand these concepts of Islam. The English dictionary, it defines strange to be something which is unusual, surprising in a way which is unsettling to someone's normal understanding of life, or something which is unfamiliar or alien. Something that someone is not used to. So strangeness could be either something which is good or bad. It doesn't mean when something strange, it is automatically negative. And here the scholars of Islam, in particular Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that there's three types of strangeness. The first of them is the strangeness that is attributed to the Book of Allah and the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a result that when people follow their deen, and they leave away, they give away this dunya, the people of kufr in this life see it as strange. A Muslim gave his life for Allah. A Muslim gave his wealth for Allah. A Muslim stops and he prays 5 times a day with no idol nor statue in front of him. This is strange. But this is the strangeness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves. And this is when we're referring to the hadith. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ. Be in this life like you are a stranger. Meaning, do not attach yourself into this world. You are only passing through. So go to this world, go into this world and through this world like you are a stranger. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, a believer, he is a stranger in this world. He is never afraid of his humiliation and never competes for it. He doesn't care if this world works against him, nor does he compete for this world. Or he competes for its glory. The people are in one situation and he is in a different situation. The people are following one path and he is following another path. And the people are content with him, yet he is in extreme sort of turmoil with himself. So even people may be happy with him, but he is not. As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy, he is happy. He is constantly reflecting upon himself. Even if the non-strangers, meaning the disbelievers, they're content with him, he is not content. There is more he needs to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first type of strangeness. The second is the strange people which are sinful, that transgress, and they corrupt the land. And these are the people which refuse the truth. And they are strangers to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third type of strangeness is the strangeness that a traveler experiences. This is like the worldly strangeness. That when you travel to a land and you don't feel welcome or you're not from that people, you feel strange. So these are the three types of strangeness. But when we're referring to this hadith, we are obviously referring to the strangeness in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves. Tayyab, what is the characteristic or the characteristics of the strangeness in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to? One, is that a person, he sticks to tawheed when the people are committing shirk. When the people are worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's the whole world, he is standing saying, La ilaha illallah. He worships Allah alone. If people are prostrating to graves and worshipping graves or calling upon ilahs other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is firm with La ilaha illallah. That's the first type of strangeness, that he is firm in his deen. The second is that he sticks to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These examples are from the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. Sticking to the sunnah when the people neglect it or avoid it. So when you see someone not implementing a sunnah, don't think to yourself, this is the way it is. I remember when we were learning the actions of sunnah in salah, someone, he made a comment, he said, but we don't see the people doing that. So the sheikh, he said, just because people don't do that, it's not an evidence that it's wrong. Just because the people do it, it's not a sunnah? No. What is sunnah is what is confirmed of the saying or the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the sunnah of like holding onto a hot black coal burning in your hand. A time would come like this, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Gharib is that you stick to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions. What's gharib? Enjoying that which is good and forbidding that which is evil. When they see something wrong, they jump onto it. When they see something that needs to be done of goodness, they encourage towards it. They move away from this world and detach themselves from this world, and they move away from the dunya. characteristics of a stranger, that his heart is not attached to this world, attached to this dunya. He is free. His soul is free. As one of the beautiful statements of the scholars of the past, he said, it is better for your body to be enslaved, to be chained. It's better for your body to be chained than your heart to be chained by the dunya, by this world. Why is that? He said, because when your body is chained, you're still able to comprehend, you're still able to think, you're still able to understand. You are you. You have control over your mind. But when your heart is diseased and your heart is chained by this world, you can no longer think straight. You can no longer act straight. You can no longer comprehend straight. Your heart has become blackened and diseased and actually taken over by this world. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا As Allah mentions, and this world, it took them away. It deceived them. Remember that once a heart is attached to the dunya, this is when destruction befalls a person. They avoid the haram, especially the minor. Many people ask, it's a minor sin. No. Al-gharib, a sin is a sin. It is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's small or if it's big, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would see a sin like it was a mountain, even if it's very minor, about to crush onto their heads if they committed it. They give charity in large amounts. This is gharib. A person he has. And we see through the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a companion would give almost everything that he had. This is strange. Loving one another. Even if you don't know that person. A Muslim, he loves his brother in Islam just because he says, La ilaha illallah. To people, this is strange. And they repent to Allah and they cry over their sins. Again, this is strange. But strangeness in Islam, in other words, you are unique. You are special. And your strangeness distinguishes you between yourself as a Muslim and a kafir. This is what strangeness brings to you. It distinguishes between the truth and the falsehood. So we look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can see amazing examples of how they were strange. For example, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Quraysh was offered the kingdom, this whole world, in a sense of Quraysh, everything they had, this dunya, to give to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not just that, women. And not just that, to make him a king and a ruler over them. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O uncle, if they were to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I would not stop. And I will keep preaching this Islam until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until Islam prevails or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes my soul. Gharib, strange. Offering money and women, wealth and status, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only wanted to give dawah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gharib, strange. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when they were migrating to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, they snuck out at night. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was riding with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would at one stage be on his right, the next stage be on his left, the next stage he'll be in front of him. Until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, what are you doing? He said, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm riding behind you, I imagine and I think maybe there is an archer or someone wanting to attack you from the front. So then I go to the front. Then I think to myself, maybe there is someone to your right that may attack you. So I go to your right. And then I think to myself, maybe there's someone to your left that's going to attack you. So I go to the left. Because Ya Rasulullah, if they harm you, I would not be able to live. I'd rather them harm me. Subhanallah. When they got into the cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he would poke his fingers and his toes in all the holes that were in that cave. Why? In fear that maybe a scorpion or a snake will harm or bite Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as his hands were there, imagine this, he started to cry. A scorpion bit him, or an insect bit him, or something in that hole bit him, and he started to cry. Strange. Ghareeb. Khabbab radiallahu an, when Quraysh grabbed him to torture him, they said to him, would you not like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam be here instead of you, and you can be back with your family in good health? He said, I swear by Allah, I would not like to be between my family and children and have all the bounties of this world with me and have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam being pricked by a thorn. Ghareeb. Strange. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu an, a man which had this whole world, which had this whole dunya in front of him. He was called or named the man of perfume. Whenever he would walk, they would know that he passed through a certain area, even though he's not there, because of the fragrance of his perfume. He was one of the richest youths in Quraysh or in Mecca during that time. One of the richest and the most well-dressed. You could not compete with him. However, when he heard in his house some men and his family members speaking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his call as it was something strange, look what this man is calling to. He is calling to La ilaha illallah. How strange is this? How silly is this? When he heard this, he wanted to go and hear from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he did, and in which he accepted Islam. And he kept his Islam hidden for a while. Until one day, he was caught leaving his house and going to the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you think that stopped Mus'ab? No. Even though he lost his family, even though his mother took an oath never to speak to him, and even though he was persecuted and almost killed, he was still persistent with his Islam and following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when he died on the battlefield, when the flag of La ilaha illallah was dropped in the battle of Uhud, he lifted it up. When one of his hands were cut, he grabbed it with his other hand. When that hand was cut, he grabbed it with his upper arms until he was killed. And when they came to bury him, Mus'ab ibn Umair, one of the richest youths in Mecca, they didn't even have a shroud that would cover him. When they would cover his feet, his head would show. And when they cover his head, his feet would show. And this made many of the companions, it moved many of them. In particular, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he started to cry and weep when he saw this. And every time he would remember, he would say, Mus'ab was better than me. And he didn't even have a shroud to cover him. Strange. How the companions, to the eyes of the non-Muslim, that these men gave up everything for La ilaha illallah. Also, not to mention that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was even more stranger. And this is something that is amazing, is that when they went to battle, or they strived for da'wah, to call to La ilaha illallah, They knew that they're not going to taste the full fruits of Islam like we are tasting today. We are Muslim today because of what? Because we chose Islam? Because we woke up one morning and said Islam is the right religion? Or is it because of their da'wah and because of Allah guiding us to Islam and choosing us to be Muslim? It is because of that. They were the means. They were the da'wah. Even though they did not eat from these fruits in which they worked hard for, in which we are sitting back and taking as granted Islam, these people worked hard for La ilaha illallah. How strange. Even though they never benefited in this world, or from the non-Muslim's point of view, they never benefited from this world. How strange. Yes, Islam would start strange. Uthman ibn Ma'zun radiyallahu an. How strange. When he saw the people being persecuted and killed, he said, by Allah. Now just a bit of a background. He actually had protection over him by a man called Al-Walid, who actually put protection over him, that no one harms him or anyone touches him. When he saw the Muslims getting hurt by Quraysh and being tortured and killed, he said, by Allah, my freedom of movement under the protection of an infidel, of a kafir, I am moving because of him, while my companions, my brothers and sisters in religion are suffering from distress that is not befalling me. They are suffering, and I've got this protection from this kafir, and these people are being tortured, and I'm not actually feeling what they're going through. So he went to Al-Walid and he said, I want to cancel my protection. I don't want your protection anymore. I'm satisfied, he said, by the protection of Allah. And I would not ask anyone for protection or shelter. Khalas, I don't want your protection. Strange. These people, they're the ghuraba. They're the strangers. How strange. You're actually protected. You actually have refuge. But he gives it up. He gives it up. And he walks the streets. He hears a poet saying, La ilaha illallah. This is something they used to say. However, they used to add on things after that. So he heard a poet saying, La ilaha. That's all he said. La ilaha. Uthman, he said, you are correct. Illallah. Then the man, he said, there is no eternal bliss after this. Meaning, there's no blessing, or there's no bliss, or there's no paradise after this. He said to him, you have lied, for there is Jannah. So this man knew that this person is a Muslim, obviously. So he stood up, and a scuffle happened. And Uthman, he was punched in his eye, until he was injured, and he was beaten. So Al-Walid, he came to him and he said to him, your eye was not in need of this when you were in my protection. You would not have gone through this. You would have been okay. You didn't have to hurt your eye. You could have stayed in my protection. Uthman, what did he say? He said, no, by Allah, my healthy eye, my good eye, is now in need of what happened to my other eye for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My good eye now is in need. This eye was injured for Allah's sake. And now my other eye is also in need of being injured for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strange. Abu Dharr radiyallahu an. He was a gangster in his days, as they say. He used to raid caravans. Him and his tribe. A high flyer. When he accepted Islam, he did not accept that people do not hear the call of Islam. So he would go to Quraysh. And he would actually say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. And they would beat him. And they would beat him. And he would continue to do it. Until the companions, they would come and say, this person's from Ghaffar. And his tribe is known to be a troublesome tribe. When people heard that, they got scared. And they'll leave him. They'll run away. And then the next day he'll be doing it again. And the people will hit and bash him again. And until someone would say, he's from Ghaffar. And then the people will get scared and run away. Gharib. Ibn Mas'ud, when he was young, when he was a young man, small, thin, he had enough. He wanted to go recite Surah Al-Rahman at the Kaaba. So he went. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Until the people turned on him and they would bash him until knee deaf. The next day he'll do it again. Until one of the companions, they said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'll continue to do this to spread the word of La ilaha illallah, to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ghareeb. This is strange. So when we talk about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, this is something which is amazing. And when we say Islam began as strange and will end and would come back and return as something strange, it's not that the Muslims have changed. The Muslim that follows the Quran and the Sunnah and sticks to La ilaha illallah and the pathway of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hasn't changed. But it will begin strange because the people around you, they will look at you strange. And again, Islam will return strange, meaning the people around you, they will be strange. In the terms that we mentioned before, the people around you, they're the ones that will be strange. They will be away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they'll look at you as a stranger. How strange is it that a Muslim, he worships Allah 5 times a day. Even, unfortunately to say, that even among the Muslims themselves, they look at Muslims strange. The one that follows the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strange. What's this going to Jum'ah? We've never heard of this back in our country. We just do work. What's this about praying 5 times a day? Waking up for Fajr? You actually have to wake up in the morning? Are you crazy? It's cold. Strange. Al-ghuraba. A woman, you have to cover? The hijab has to be that loose? What's going on? How are you going to get married? Ghuraba. Strange. But remember, glad tidings to the strangers. So if you are strange and you feel strange because of your religion, then inshallah you are on the truth. As long as it is with accordance to the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is going to continue for every person because Islam is going to spread and the world around you is going to fall deeper into kufr and deeper into oppression against the Muslims. And this is now a time for you to rise, a time for you to put your foot down and say, you know what? I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if anyone looks at me weird and strange. If it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't care. And I'll end off with one of the stories of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to At-Ta'if, even though he was pelted with stones, and they chased him out of the city for miles, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blood that was from gushing from his head would reach his feet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seeks shelter in an orchard, in a farmland. Do you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did? He turned around and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among those statements, or one of the statements of that supplication, he said, Ya Allah, as long, yeah, the people are displeased, they've just hurt Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Allah, as long as you are pleased with me, then I do not mind. As long as you, oh Allah, that you are happy with me and you are pleased with me and you approve what I am doing, Ya Allah, then what happens to me, I don't mind. It doesn't bother me, Ya Allah, as long as you, Ya Allah, you are pleased and you are happy with me. Subhanallah. And this should be the statement of every Muslim. Ya Allah, as long as you're pleased with us and you're happy with us and we are obeying you and obeying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we do not fear the blame of the blamers, nor the words and the cursing or whatever it may be, because Ya Allah, if you're pleased with us, then to you is our final return. And to you, Ya Allah, you are the one that judges between us. And like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended the hadith, glad tidings to you. Glad tidings to those, al-ghuraba, the strangers. So end there, inshallah, jazakum Allah khair for giving me the opportunity to present this to you, inshallah. You'll never be able to give this topic justice, doesn't matter how many lessons and how many lectures you give, because you're talking about the Muslims in general and the way that a Muslim should be. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us closer to that. Jazakum Allah khair wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.